All right, we are picking up tonight with our study of God's purpose for our lives, and we are on page 11 in the study guide. And I'm going to refer to a scripture that we put in right at the end of the last session when we were together, and that was in Amos 3:7, which says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." So the Lord, by his Spirit, lets us know what he's doing if we're seeking him to know what he's doing. And that's what we need to be doing. If we want to be led by the Spirit, then we have to be listening to the Spirit, don't we? The statement here is that it's easy to sacrifice present responsibility on the altar of past accomplishments. And that's a loaded statement. We've all done this. We've talked about the good old days, and we sit down and we reminisce about how good things were here and how good things were there. And I think it's common for us to do that. It's natural to do that. We like to think back on the good times. But we don't want to live there anymore because that's not today. So I'm thankful for the things the Lord has done in the past. And I do think back and thank him for those things. I'm not where I used to be. And I look back there and see where I used to be. I'm glad I'm not there anymore. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I used to be. I am where I am today. And we are what we are by the grace of God, aren't we? So what is God doing in my life today? Yes, I have a testimony of the past. But what about today? What's my testimony today? What is God doing in my present that's impacting my future and the future of others through me? God never stops working with us. We've used the scripture several times already, but there's a scripture that teaches us that we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful. He designed us, and he will lead us into that perfect design of who we are if we're listening to him. He knows what he created us for and who he designed us to be. So the good old days were good. But these aren't the good old days back then. These are the good days now. So what's he doing good for us now? That's our testimony today. Seasons aren't altered by what we think. Now, last time we were together, we talked about some people still live in the past. And they, when they get together, it's like times haven't moved on. They're still 16 in their thinking, but maybe 60 in their body. But you know what? Time has moved on. And they're only deceiving themselves to think that they can live back where it used to be. That's not where it is anymore. And if we've been born again since we lived in that season, things should be very different for us now and today. The good old days were only good in their season. That's the timing of God. You know, we've said this many times, but we'll say it again. The will of God and the timing of God can't be separated. And the timing of God is just as crucial and important as the will of God. We need to know the what. What does God want me to do? But we also need to know the when. When does he want me to do it? His timing is essential to the best results being gained from my contribution to my purpose.
The downfall of the Israelites, one of their downfalls, was they were constantly looking back to how it used to be in Egypt. Wish we were back eating the garlics and the leeks, the onions, and this type of thing. In other words, they were thinking about then rather than locking in on what God wanted to do now. And so often we find that with people, church members or ministers even, they talk about how it used to be and we need to get these old-fashioned meetings back and this type of thing. And the bottom line is if you're looking back at how it used to be, you're not listening to how it's supposed to be. And seasons are always changing. God's moving us forward. God's not going to leave us in a place. He wants to advance us to a higher place. You understand? In other words, we should be getting closer to God, growing in grace, which would be bringing us to a greater revelation and intimacy with the Lord. But if we're constantly thinking about how, thinking of how it used to be, well, God used to do this in ministry, and I remember when God did this in my ministry and did this in my ministry. So often you hear ministers just talking about how it used to be. Well, the reason that they're talking about how it used to be is because it's not occurring now. Something's lacking. And what we need to be doing is talking about what God's doing now. It's a current day thing. Don't be looking back to Egypt. Don't be looking back how it used to be. But it'll be looking forward. Look to the future. Live in the present, but keep a future mindset that we're on a journey. We haven't arrived. You're not going to arrive in this life. This is a journey. Abraham looked for a city. He never saw it here in earth. You understand? But he kept looking. He kept going. He kept moving. And God wants us to keep going and moving with Him.
He does. The Pentecostal revival. Now, you probably need to address this one. Was good for its time. There was a season.
When you think about how God introduces things, Jesus came in the fullness of time. Many things had to transpire before the season. And prophets prophesied for years and years before this ever came into fruition. It was a time. Well, there was a time when Jesus told the disciples, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait until you're endued with power. Mm-hmm. In other words, wait for the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that we're to make a doctrine out of tarrying. They waited for 10 days. The Holy Spirit came and has been here ever since. So why are you waiting for Him? He's already here. Okay? But He didn't come until it was time for Him to come. There was a time that Jesus came to earth. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to understand that God moves in time. There's a time. So there's a time for the revelation. There was a time for the revelation of Pentecost, okay? The Holy Spirit was already here, but people needed a revelation of Him being here. It's not that He failed. You know, we talk about the Welsh Revival, or we can talk about Azusa Street or Topeka, Kansas, or whatever, but that wasn't the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's where these people got a revelation of the Holy Spirit. They got hungry and thirsty for the things of God, and as they thirsted and hungered after the things of God, God quenched their thirst and satisfied their hunger by revealing to them what was already available all the time.
And then there was a season that was called the Healing Revival. And a lot of people long to go back to those days. Who is the healer?
Jesus
is the healer. Is He the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is He still healing? Yes, because it's who He is. It's not what He does, just what it's what He does because of who He is.
Actually, these are emphases of God.
Mm-hmm.
For particular times to introduce this facet of God to the people. In other words, the Holy Spirit, we call it a movement or a wave of God, but in reality it's a revelation of God. It's been there all along, the same way with the healing. And God, at that particular time, God was emphasizing the power of the Holy Spirit. So the attention was on being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you see the attention put in the 50s. You see the attention put on the healing movement to where it's not a new thing. It's not even an old thing. The emphasis was at that particular time. But when you go to the next emphasis, you can't lose sight of the Holy Spirit. You can't lose sight of the healing. One thing is what it's doing is maturing us, is stretching us to where we have this revelation, now we have this revelation, and now we have this revelation. And the interesting thing is the church as a whole that embraced, when they embraced Pentecost, and many of them rejected healing. They embraced healing and rejected, I'm getting ahead of you,
that's
the
right.
Charismatic move. Mm-hmm. Or they embraced that and rejected word and faith teaching. And all these things were just emphases of God. You understand? To mature us to where we come into the place to where we can be effective ministers for the Lord. He's bringing a balance into our life. Not a little doubt, a little unbelief, but a balance of knowledge of the Lord to where we're not specializing. We're in a day where everything's specialist, whether you go to the doctor or mechanic. It's a specialist. And God wants us to be well-rounded in His Word to where we don't have to refer somebody to somebody else. But when they come to be ministered to, that we have something to give them, we can minister to them the fullness of the Lord.
Yes.
But we have to know it in order to pass along.
And just because the season came and went without my knowledge of it, which is the case with several of these that we've mentioned, especially the earlier ones, doesn't mean that I'm left out. Do you know when the revelation of the Holy Spirit came to me? When I heard about Him and started seeking Him for myself.
Yeah.
He revealed Himself to me through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I didn't know anything about that in the setting I was in. But when I heard about it, I longed for that intimacy with the Lord, and I sought Him for it. And He gave it to me. He brought Himself to me in that aspect of who He is. The same with healing. There was a need. It wasn't mine. It was somebody else's. But I began to search the Scriptures. And He revealed Himself to me as the healer through those Scriptures. That wasn't the healing ministry. I had heard of some of those great preachers. We were talking about a couple the other night. But I really wasn't, you know, in the circles that experienced those ministers. But the ministers were just vessels of what the Lord wanted for us anyway. So I thank Him for, you know, for His commitment by the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And we seek the Lord. He's never out of season. Okay? He wants us to know Him in His fullness. Just because I wasn't part of an era or a movement, as we call it, in the Lord, doesn't mean I have to miss out. I sought Him in the present, and He revealed Himself to me, as He had in former days to others. You understand? You're not left out of anything.
I believe the Lord does this in local church settings, or in various areas. You know, you get a revelation of something you didn't know before. But it doesn't mean for you to plateau there and count down on that revelation and make a truth the truth. And that's what's happened to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a truth of God, but they made it the absolute. And the bottom line is God wanting to reveal line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. He'll give you this truth. He'll reveal this truth. He'll reveal this truth. And as He reveals these truths and we embrace these truths, then we mature as a body.
Yeah.
We mature individually, but we also mature corporately as a body of Christ, you know, that local church setting.
So today is a different time and a different season. And we want to seek the Lord today. What's he saying today? We don't want to miss our season. Okay? This is our season in the Lord. Today is the season. Today is the time in the Lord. It's the day he's made, isn't it? So let's seek him for his timing today. And then we won't miss the season. When seasons come, natural surroundings cooperate. We can learn something from that. Think about it. The animals don't dictate the seasons, but they cooperate with the seasons. They know things to do because of the instincts God has put in them when he created them to prepare for the next season, don't they? Doesn't that amaze you, how the animals know to prepare? Plants don't defy the seasons. They yield to the seasons and go through the process that they were designed to go through. Even people yield to seasons through dress and preparation. We understand when the seasons are changing, and we make adjustments accordingly. So the surroundings cooperate with the seasons because it is time. And as we studied in Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven.
You think about, we're at a transition right now of a season change, right? All right. As this transition occurs, as the season, you already know the season's upon you. Well, you know, you used to be, you don't wear white after a certain time and all this type. I mean, boy, we made real traditions and all out of this. But the bottom line is, you're not wearing a wool overcoat on a 100-degree day, I hope, because it's a violation. You understand that's going to be detrimental to you if you do. Well, churches have a tendency, if they're not cautious, they'll have a tendency not to cooperate with the change of the season. I like summertime. I don't like winter, and I'm not going to accept winter. Then it's going to be to your detriment, and a lot of churches are like that. I like the season I'm in. I'm not going to change the season I'm in. And if you go back to 10, 15 years later, they're still saying and doing the same thing they did back then. I believe churches should be growing. There was a time that this emphasis was in church, but that was to grow you into another emphasis, into another emphasis. Everyone's a season change.
Mm-hmm.
To where you become more and more mature in the Lord. You understand? And the purpose for that maturity is to get you activated to where you're not always receiving, but to get you to the place to where you can give. And as we go through these seasons in the Lord, then I believe they're to make us ministers, able ministers of the Lord. Not everyone's an able minister. Commit these things, what Paul telling Timothy. Commit these things, not to any and everybody, but to faithful men who have the ability. In other words, they're able people. They're competent.
Yes.
Why are they competent? Because they've matured. They grow. They have the revelation knowledge, not just what somebody else has said, not just an information, but they have the revelation knowledge of this to where they can teach or preach it with conviction.
Now you think about in the natural, we understand this. We expect the animals to mature. They come as babies. They mature. And when they mature, what do? We expect them to. They reproduce. What about plants? They start out as tender little shoots. But when they mature, what do? They reproduce. What do we as human beings do? We start out as babies. And not until we mature can we reproduce. But when the season comes, then that's what we expect to do and be able to do, and that's what others expect of us, right? Well, the same is true spiritually. So why do we think that we can stay at the same place spiritually and never have to grow up or reproduce? The whole, our whole surroundings show us how this works. in the natural, and that's a lesson to us in the spiritual. But you know what I'm saying? You can go back to places and be with people, and they're right where you left them. And I don't mean that critically. I just mean they haven't grown. They're still immature in the Word. For whatever reasons, it may not be totally their fault. They just haven't heard, and they haven't applied themselves to learn.
You know, we're talking about when the surroundings cooperate with the season. And you think about this from Egypt and Israel. In God's time, Israel left Egypt. Now, God had already told Abraham that they would be there 400 years, four generations. He said they'll come out in the fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was 430 years, best we can tell. All right? Now, up until that time, Egypt, there's no way they were going to release Israel. But when the fullness of time came, when the season came in to fruition, Egypt let them go and gave them great riches to get them out of there. And when Pharaoh and his army tried to violate the season, they were destroyed. It was the season for them to come out. And we have to know that. But a lot of people are murmuring and complaining as the season changes. That's what Israel did. Complaining against the very one God sent to lead them out. As the season was changing, as they were going through the transition, they didn't like the uncomfortableness. That sound like us? See, we point a finger at them. We can criticize them. But we're as guilty as they are.
Mm-hmm.
The key is recognize that there's a transition taking place. There's going to be a change. And then we have to prepare ourselves for the change. God's not changing. We prepare ourselves for the season that He's trying to move us into. And when Israel came out in season, the surroundings cooperated with that.
Now,
all things work together for good. Actually, if you look at that work together in the Greek, it says cooperate. All things work together for good to those who, here's the criteria, love God and, it just doesn't stop there, are called according to His purpose. Okay? So if you love God, and you're called according to the purpose of God, His purpose, then things, whether you think so or not, are cooperating.
Wow.
We wouldn't have thought they were cooperating with Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have thought they were cooperating with the Hebrew children. We wouldn't have thought they were cooperating with Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den. But the things were working together for good. Interested in that.
And the violation for the nation of Israel in saying, would that we were back. Think about where they were. They were in captivity. Now, they were looking back on it longingly. But they were in captivity. They were crying out to be delivered from what they said, we wish we were back in that. Mm-hmm. And that is about trust or lack of it, and about the refusal to accept responsibility. Trusting the Lord, when seasons change, we can't always see the outcome. In fact, we usually just have a bit of it. But when we trust the Lord, then we know that those things are going to cooperate for our good. When we have a lack of trust, we don't trust Him in the season. We want to go back to the familiar. But the familiar for them was not a good place. They looked back. But they weren't happy when they were there. They cried out to be delivered from bondage. So what is it about the bondage that made it more desirable? Less responsibility. It takes responsibility. It takes trust to follow the leading of the Lord when you don't know exactly where you're going. Mm. Bondage is familiar territory. Mm. And people choose it over trusting.
That's exactly why people are willing to stay where they are. They're comfortable in their setting. Mm-hmm. Israel got comfortable in their setting in Egypt. When they came out of their setting, even though it was onions, garlics, and leeks they were eating, when they came out of their setting, things had changed and they didn't have all these things they normally have. And now it's requiring a dependency on the Lord to feed them, where before they were being fed by the land, you know, of Egypt. And now they're dependent upon God to feed them. So when they get out and they come on a place where there's no water, they start complaining. When they don't have that food like they've been having, they start complaining. See, they didn't like where they are, but they liked it better than where they're going because of the uncertainties of where they are in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where people are today, is they don't like the faith walk because you can't see what's going on. People don't want to change because they don't know what's going on. In other words, it's you take a step and you believe God. When He says go here, you go there. And when He says go here, you go there. And just because you go there doesn't mean that it's going to be like you thought.
Wow.
See, the Lord leads us into places and it's nothing like we think it's going to be. Boy, He calls you into ministry and here you all fired up on the inside and you just know the world's waiting on you, boy, and you're going to light them up.
Yeah.
And you just preach that thing that's just burning on the inside of you that you think everybody would be happy to know, and they don't even want to hear it. But you have to trust God that He's moving God's time. Okay? And then trust God that His Word doesn't return void, that it prospers in the thing He sent it to do, not necessarily the thing you desire for it to do.
That's right.
The world of difference.
Mm-hmm. So we can know the time and the season because God doesn't change the season without first announcing it to His servants.
You know the season. God doesn't change, so you can know the season. That's why they can put it on a calendar. I know summer's June the 21st. Every year. Now that doesn't mean that June the 21st doesn't mean it's going to be the hottest day of the year. We announce. God announces. So the season can be predicted. You can know the season of the Lord's return.
Jesus,
you just can't predict when.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But I was riding down the route yesterday, and I noticed the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are starting to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that even though the temperature's up, you get out of the sun and you feel a change in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Season's changing. Mm-hmm. That's what it's telling you. Churches should experience that same thing. It's a season change. So when the season changes, it means I must also make changes. But we don't like to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
We want things to change for us. Winter doesn't change for me. It says it's 20 degrees. If you're stupid enough to come out here with your short sleeve shirt, don't freeze, buddy. But if you want to survive this, then dress accordingly. You want to survive the changes, dress spiritually accordingly. Go ahead.
No, I was just, you go right ahead. So we must submit to the seasons and move in God's timing. How are we going to know God's timing? There's only one way. By the Spirit, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Now, we've talked about this before, but think about it, even in the natural. A thing that comes prematurely struggles. Unnecessarily, just because it came.
And can't die.
Too soon. On the other hand, we can overstay a timing and refuse to move on, and in fact undo the good that we did while we were there. Now, somebody just asked me about retirement. And here's when I'm going to retire, when God releases me from the assignment He's given me. And I'll know when He does. Okay? And it's not going to be based on anything else. There's not a magic number. There's not a magic anything. It isn't magic. It's the Lord's timing, and I want to get it right. Because if I leave too soon, I will leave something that He wanted me to do, whether I knew it or not, undone. I don't want to do that. I want to give, and I'm talking about my field of assignment, my public place of ministry, okay? I want to give that place everything He has in me to give it, as long as He wants me there and directs me as to what I'm to give. And when I'm spent there, I won't be spent, period, but when I'm spent there, when I'm empty there, then it'll be time for me to get out of the way. Because if I stay there empty, I don't have any more good to give them. And I'll be in somebody else's place who's coming in with more good. You know, new good. The next season for that school. So I don't want to overstay it either. Because I could stay so long I undo the good things that have been accomplished there. So what's the answer for me or for you or for any of us? It's know the timing of the Lord. And when He tells me it's time to move, just like the cloud by day and the pillar of fire, when it's time, when the cloud moves, we move. That was a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. That's how Jesus got the timing right on everything that He did. He didn't miss anything. That's how we'll get it right too.
God's timing has nothing to do with your comfortableness. He will violate your comfort zone. You understand? And that's exactly what He did with Esther. You want to
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Let me see what you have to say there with the Lord.
See, when Esther first heard what Mordecai was doing, she, I believe, was somewhat embarrassed to the point. She sent clothes, you know, he didn't need to be out there in sackcloth and all this. And then he makes his appeal to her. And she counters that with her excuse of why she shouldn't do that. And then he says to her, who knows but that you were put here for such a time as this. Well, now I believe that every one of us are here for such a time as this.
Yes, sir.
And then there are specific assignments that has its time. And at that time, you step up. You realize Esther could not have had influence a few years earlier. But when it was time, she was in the position to have the influence needed to fulfill her purpose.
Yes.
But then she had to have the commitment to do it. And many people come upon their season. They come upon the time, but they're not willing to commit because of the uncertainties of what may occur. And what God's looking for is committed people who commit themselves to Him and move with the seasons.
Yeah.
As God ordains them. Not argue with them, not resist them. but you move with them. Now, sometimes it takes a prompting for us to know our season. Mordecai prompted Esther.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he provoked her to think, why do you think you're the queen? Because you're beautiful? Or did God set this up? Israel was told time and again, it wasn't because of their goodness that God brought them into the promised land and did this, that, and the other. It was God's purpose. So don't ever think that you're where you are because you're smart. You're where you are by the grace of God.
Yes.
What you need to ask yourself is, why am I here? In other words, why? What's God's reason for putting me here? That's what I need to focus upon so that I'm certain that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. In other words, I'm carrying out the assignment for this season. And assignments change. There was a time for David to kill Goliath, the giant. But he didn't make a ministry out of killing giants. But it had a purpose. It served in his life. And we have to understand that. Recognize it. Recognize the timing of God. Recognize the grace of God. Recognize the wisdom and power of God. And by all means, we need to move in his timing. There was a time to build the temple. There was a time to build the tabernacle. There's a time to build the church. And our time is up. So we're going to have to take a break here.